This is 89.1 WEMU, and welcome to another edition of Issues of the Environment. I'm David Fair, and today we're going to discuss the impossible and the beyond. What I'm talking about is the growing wave of plant-based meatless burgers and foods popping up in restaurants everywhere, and even some fast food chains. One of the refrains we've heard among some climate activists is that reducing the amount of produced and consumed beef is one of the best things we can do for the environment. Does it pan out? My guest today is Dr. Martin Heller, and Martin is a research specialist with the Center for Sustainable Systems at the University of Michigan. Thank you so much for the time.
Thanks for having me, David.
Have you ever had an Impossible or Beyond Burger?
I have, yes.
And did you like it?
I do like them, yeah. In fact, my kids, who have grown up vegetarian, happen to like them as well. They've never tasted the real thing, but this tastes good to them.
Yeah, well, you know, I am omnivorous. I eat just about everything, but I do like them as well. I think they taste pretty good. Now, for years in the past, I would occasionally order a vegetable burger, a black bean burger, or even a tempeh burger. Why are these different, or are they different?
They are different. You know, I think that the food industry has recognized that there are ways to produce plant-based meat substitutes that really look and taste like real meat. So instead of targeting vegetarians that might reach for a black bean burger, these are really marketed towards carnivores that may want to reduce some of their meat intake by substituting with a plant-based food.
And it seems to be having some success, at least initially. Beyond Burgers was very interested in finding out if the cradle-to-distribution process for its burgers was actually better for the environment than a traditional beef patty of the same size. As such, it commissioned the Center for Sustainable Studies at U of M to look at the science of the matter. So I just want to make clear at the outset, science is science, and regardless of who commissions a study, the results are the results, correct?
That's right, yeah, and this study went through a peer-reviewed process, so folks that were external to the process took a look at it and, you know, determined that the science was sound.
Is the plant-based burger better for the environment?
Well, what we found by looking at producing the Beyond Burger, and that's considering what it takes to produce its ingredients, processing that into the burger that shows up in the grocery store, packaging it, the storage, cold storage that's evolved along the way, as well as distribution to that retail, we found that requires, relative to typical U.S. beef, we found that the Beyond Burger contributes about 90% less greenhouse gas emissions, 99% less impact on water scarcity, so that's looking at water use, but also taking into account the impact where that water is being used, 93% less impact on land use, and 46% less energy use. So significant reductions in all of those areas.
I would guess so. Issues of the Environment and our conversation with Dr. Martin Heller continues on 89.1 WEMU. He is research specialist for the Center for Sustainable Systems at the University of Michigan. Let's dive into some of those figures just a little bit. Why does the Beyond Burger production system generate 90% less greenhouse gas emission?
Well, I think the simple answer here is really that producing beef results in very high greenhouse gas emissions. We commonly see when we rank foods, beef ranking around near the top. And when we look at the American diet, the average American diet, as much as 45% of the emissions associated with producing that diet come from beef. So a big part of this is look at the emissions associated with beef production. Of course, with the plant-based burger, we're not dealing with an animal. We're using those plants directly. So most of the emissions associated with producing the Beyond Burger, about 57%, are wrapped up in producing the ingredients that go into that.
So that accounts for the 99% reduction in water impact and 93% reduction in land use because it has to do with property and care needed for cattle, right?
That's right, yeah. Along with the emissions associated with those animals being alive and being ruminants and producing methane, which is a powerful greenhouse gas as part of their digestion.
Yeah, I was going to say, I presume the waste byproduct of cattle farming as compared to plant farming is miles apart, right?
That's right, yeah. So manure is a contributor with the beef products, but then there's also an additional byproduct that is associated with beef cattle emit methane through this process called enteric fermentation that is part of their natural digestion.
Let me ask you this, and this just kind of struck me. I remember similar studies being conducted on the use of corn to produce ethanol, and the general finding was that it took just as much or more fossil fuel to produce the biofuel, almost a gallon-for-gallon trade-off. Am I trying to compare apples and oranges here?
Yeah, I would say that looking at these food products is quite a bit different than looking at fuels. We've got more wrapped up in producing beef than producing ethanol necessarily. And comparing ethanol with gasoline is very different than comparing beef with a plant-based burger, I would say.
We're talking with U of M research specialist Dr. Martin Heller on 89.1 WEMU's Issues of the Environment. Based on the findings that we've discussed so far, what does it say to you about human behavior and consumption impacts on our environment today?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, so many of these behaviors are wrapped up in, you know, our cultural traditions, you know, what we're used to, how we're used to consuming, how we're used to driving our automobiles to get around, etc. I think that the introduction of plant-based proteins that are replicating the experience that we have with animal-based foods is a way of helping us through this transition that much of the research and much of the international discussion around climate change is suggesting that we need to make in order to stay within the operational bounds of our climate.
That was that was a paragraph with a lot of information in that, so I want to break it down just a little bit. You mentioned the word transition. So you see these patterns and behaviors trending toward more plant-based food, and we're headed in a different direction in both the short and the longer-term futures?
Yeah, I mean, that is something that I hope is happening, you know, and it seems that there's a growing trend. You know, of course, this isn't an area that I study directly, so I don't have any strong evidence to bring to that, but it seems that that's a trend that's occurring.
You also brought up those words, climate change. Many today are referring it to climate crisis. As we start to look at adapting and changing our behaviors to deal with the issue, do you see this transition to more plant-based food production as central to our species, to a changing and warming climate?
What I can say is that many of the projection studies that look at where we're going to be in 2030 and 2050 and are looking at how we might be able to meet the reductions in greenhouse gas emissions that are estimated to be necessary to maintain a stable climate, what they're pointing at is that if we continue as a human species across the globe to eat the way that we're eating, to consume the types of foods and in the quantities that we're consuming them, that producing our food is going to occupy a much larger portion of the available emissions, you know, the available space that we have to operate within, and that really in order to accommodate the rest of our society, the rest of the things that we're used to doing, we need to look at ways of reducing the impact from our food system. One of the critical ways of doing that is through changes in diet. It doesn't mean we all need to become vegetarian, that we all need to become vegan, but being conscious of the quantity of those foods that we consume and making some shifts seems to me an important move for the future.
I assume that you had a team at the center that was working on this project and this look at the scientific evidence, right?
Yes.
And I assume that at least a couple of them may be carnivores, correct?
Indeed.
So my question is this, just anecdotally speaking, learning the results of this study and going through the science and seeing the impact of cattle-based meat production, did it alter or change the perspectives or diets of any members of your team?
That's a great question. I know that I personally think twice before I order a burger on a menu. That's not to say that I don't occasionally eat beef, but I try to keep it fairly minimal in my diet. I'm not sure about others on the team.
It'll be interesting to see how that plays out moving forward. I thank you so much for the time and the information today. That is Martin Heller. He is a research specialist with the Center for Sustainable Systems at the University of Michigan. Issues of the Environment is heard each Wednesday, and it's produced in partnership with the Office of the Washtenaw County Water Resources Commissioner. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU-HD1 Ypsilanti.